that, okay, what I'm going to be talking about today is what is your calling? What is your calling in the kingdom? Do you know your calling? Not to embarrass anyone, but does anyone or ever, who knows their calling? Who knows what their calling is? There's no shame. It can be hard to figure out. So, I see it. This is something that's super important. I'm just going to read something out of 2 Peter. I think I'll read the end and then backtrack to give some context. So basically the verse I want to highlight is 2 Peter 1:10. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away." So, do these things. I'm going to go through what these things are to prove that you are among those God has called and chosen. So, this is the NLT. Peter says we're supposed to work hard to prove that we're among those who are called. And when I first read this, called and chosen, I was like, oh, that just means salvation. But when you look up the word called in the Greek, it actually means vocation. So it has to do with a specific job or a type of work. So we're looking at the type of work that we were made to do in the kingdom. So does everyone, do we know what maybe our gifts are, our spiritual gifts, or some of them, or some, all right, how about this? Do we know what are some personal interests in our life? Like, I like music. That's a personal interest. A lot of times, your interests directly tie into your gifts that God has given you. And your gifts pretty much always, every time that I've seen it, directly tie into your calling, the work that God has made you to do that only you can do. So, you know, if we look at other parts of Scripture, we see how, you know, we're a body and we're all made to fit together. We're all made to function. You know, we're not just created, we're not just meant to come into the kingdom and sit. Like, getting into the kingdom isn't the end goal, right? So that's just the first baby step. Even though it's super important, the point of salvation, or you know, what's supposed to happen after salvation, is that you get to work. You know, you find out who you are and what you're supposed to do, and you do it. So, for example, I love music, and a handful of years ago, God called me to step out and pursue songwriting, which doesn't sound like a big deal, because, oh, you're like, oh, it's a cool hobby, you can do that in your spare time, but God, the way he told me to do this was to quit my job. I was the only one who worked in our family at the time. We were having babies, so Robin was staying at home. And God told me to quit my full-time job to pursue songwriting, which was scary, obviously. But I, after a lot of prayer and just seeking counsel, I eventually brought this up to Robin, probably about a month after praying and fasting about it. And then, you know, it just felt right, and we knew the Lord was saying it, so we jumped out, and we've just kind of been living by faith since then. You know, I'm working again now, but he did that to me, he did that for me, to really get it in my head how important this was to him. Right. Your interests and your gifts are not just something that's in the back of your mind. Like, that's, it should be a main part of your life. So kind of like what we talked about in Brussels with, you know, my friend Jerry, every member of the body is supposed to be active and an active participant. So let me real quick read some of this in 2 Peter. So starting at verse 3, it says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and with moral excellence, knowledge, with knowledge, self-control, self-control with patience, patient endurance or perseverance, with perseverance, godliness, with godliness, brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." And this next part is the part I really want to highlight. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. So the part that really stuck out to me was, wait for it. So that the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. That means we're supposed to be doing something. So what is that something that you're supposed to be doing? What is, you know, that work or that thing that you think might be a hobby or insignificant that only you can do for the kingdom? It's not that hard to figure out, especially if you do it, including Holy Spirit in prayer. He'll tell you. He wants to tell you. He wants to partner with us. So I would encourage you to, if you don't know your calling, if you don't know your, you know, what spiritual gifts that God has put in you, let's take some time to pray about that. This is a church that knows the Holy Spirit, you know. This is a church that cares about kingdom work. This is a church that sends people off to do ministry, you know, but there's ministry here to do as well. So, let's see. Yeah, so verse 5 and 7 talks about the ways we grow in Christ. And those are directly tied into who you are within your calling. You know, if you are someone who likes to work on cars, or even if you, you know, work at a mechanic shop, when you're there, you know, these are the qualities that people should be seeing in you: is moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patience, or perseverance, godliness, brotherly affection. You know, and that ties into your calling. It's not just someone who has the title of pastor or minister. You know, God wants every one of his children to partner with him. Actually, what's the scripture that talks about the fivefold ministries? Ephesians 4. So Ephesians 4 talks about the fivefold ministries, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor? I don't think so. Does it say pastor?
Yes. Yeah.
That's probably the one time in the Bible it actually says the word pastor. The point of those people, the job of those people, is to equip the saints for ministry. You know, it's not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher who do all the ministry. They're just supposed to equip us to do the ministry. So what could ministry look like in your life? I work in contracting as a painter, and most of the guys that I work with, besides Kenny, don't know the Lord. So that's the mission field right there. That's ministry opportunity right there. If we have it in our minds to, you know, look for it. I don't know if painting is part of my calling, but that's definitely an opportunity. And it's an opportunity to talk about my calling and to present my calling of music. It's just like an open door to build relationship. That's what Activate International is all about, building relationships so that you can lead people into the kingdom or share Jesus with them through relationship. So, I don't know if I have anything else. I just want to encourage you guys to figure this out. Don't go away from here and say, "Oh, that was a good Sunday. I feel great. Let's go get some Mexican." Let's take some time to really pursue this and figure out what things we've been, you know, letting sit on the table that God wants to partner with us in. I think that's it. But yeah, fine. Father, thank you again. Thank you for calling us into your kingdom. Thank you for creating us with purpose. Thank you for implanting, well, first of all, your Holy Spirit, but also implanting gifts and talents and interests and motivations within us. open our minds and our hearts to realize and understand that those are probably not just things that we like. Those are probably things that you have made us for. God doesn't expect us not to fail. You know, if we look at a toddler or a baby learning how to walk, if it starts taking a couple steps and falls, nobody yells at the baby, right? So don't be afraid of failure. I mean, definitely. So it's time to get to work. Let's figure out what we're supposed to do first. And then, you know, there's plenty of people here who can help you with that. There's plenty of people here who will pray with you and kind of walk with you through that if you don't know. So, yeah. Let's not sit on our gifts and our callings. God wants to partner with us. Amen.